Hi there, it's Matt here, and welcome back to the podcast. Today is the first in a multi-part series talking all about these things called dreams. And we're better to start than the utter absurdity of the act of dreaming itself. Because last night, you became flagrantly psychotic. And it will happen again tonight. And in fact, it will happen multiple times tonight. Now, before you reject my diagnosis of your nightly psychosis, allow me to give you five justifying reasons. First, when you were dreaming last night, you started to see things that were not there. So you were hallucinating. Second, you believed things that could not possibly be true. So you were delusional. Third, you became confused about time, place, and person. So you were disoriented. Fourth, you had wildly fluctuating emotions, something that psychiatrists call being affectively labile. And fifth, and wonderfully delightfully, you woke up this morning and you forgot most, if not all, of this bizarre dream experience. So you were suffering from amnesia. Now, if you were to experience any one of these five symptoms while you were awake, you would perhaps be seeking significant psychological attention and treatment. Yet for reasons that are only now becoming clear, the brain state called REM sleep and the mental experience that goes along with it called dreaming are both normal biological and psychological processes, and as we will learn, are truly essential ones as well. Now, REM sleep is not the only time during sleep when we dream. If you use the liberal definition of dreaming as any mental activity reported upon awakening from sleep, such as me going into a patient's room at night and we wake them up, and I say, was there anything going through your mind? And they say, well, I was just thinking about rain, which, by the way, sounds desperately British to me. Technically, if you use that very loose definition of any mental activity that you report, such as bland thinking, then you will dream in almost all stages of sleep. But the things that most of us call dreams, those really hallucinogenic, those movement-filled, those emotional and bizarre experiences with a very rich narrative, they largely come from the stage of sleep we call rapid eye movement or REM sleep. And over the past 20 years, our new scientific view of REM sleep has given rise to an understanding of three basic questions regarding dreaming. First, how does the brain create this neural activity that we call dreaming? Second, can we explain what it is that we dream about from a scientific perspective? In other words, do dreams have their source in, let's say, recent waking experience or very distant past memories? Or instead, are dreams something that are completely new? They are de novo experiences generated by the brain, completely unrelated to any past experience. The third question is why it is that we dream. In other words, what is the purpose, what is the function of REM sleep dreaming, if it has one at all? So the how, the what, and the why of dreaming, these are the things that we're going to discuss in this series. And today we're going to address the first of these questions. How is it that your brain is capable of dreaming, specifically dreaming during REM sleep? Or, said differently, this episode is all about your brain on dreams. Now, it was the advent of brain imaging machines in the early 2000s that allowed odd scientists like myself the ability to reconstruct beautiful three-dimensional visualizations of the brain activity during REM sleep dreaming, and it was well worth the wait. because these new scientific findings actually challenged many of the postulates of Sigmund Freud and his theory of dreaming as wish fulfillment. But there were important virtues of Freud's theory, and credit where credit's due, but there were systematic flaws, and we'll speak all about those in a later episode. The sponsor supporting today's podcast is Inside Tracker, which I'm sure you've heard about from lots of top health experts in the field. Inside Tracker is a service that analyzes both your blood and your DNA to better understand exactly what's happening inside of you in terms of your health status, as it were. And it's an especially easy service. They will come to your home, they will do a blood draw, and then they will run a set of diagnostic tests. And you get two key returns on your investment. First, they will provide a full set of results describing your varied blood, your metabolic, and your hormonal health metrics. And then they'll also give you some reference points so that you know exactly whether you sit inside or outside of those standard healthy ranges. Second, and I think this is the part of the service that I like especially, Inside Tracker then provides personalized suggestions for lifestyle changes that you can adjust then and see if you can alter some key metrics and better optimize them. So if you would like to try Inside Tracker as a service, all you need to do is go over to insidetracker.com/Matt Walker. And there you will actually get a full 31% off any one of their programs. So that's insidetracker.com/Matt Walker to use their service at a discount. And now let's get back to the podcast. But coming back to the how that it is that your brain constructs these things called dreams. If we watch the brain firstly switch from deep non-REM sleep, where we typically see very little dreaming, over to the REM sleep state, something remarkable happens. Because it's during that REM sleep dreaming state that all of a sudden, almost without warning, numerous parts of the brain dramatically erupt with massive spikes of activity in the MRI scans. Indeed, there are four main areas in the brain that essentially fire up in their activity when someone starts dreaming during REM sleep. The first are what we call visuospatial regions at the back of the brain that enable complex visual perception. Despite, by the way, the fact that your eyes are closed and you're not perceiving the outside world, those parts of the brain light up. Second is the motor cortex, which normally instigates movement when you are awake. That part of the brain lights up during REM sleep dreaming. Third, there is a memory structure sitting on the left and the right side of your brain called the hippocampus. And it's this memory-related structure of the hippocampus and the surrounding regions which enable normally your autobiographical memory. And those parts of the brain light back up during REM sleep. Fourth and finally, deep emotional centers of the brain, a region called the amygdala, in fact you actually have two of them, as well as a part called the cingulate cortex. Those burst into life when you go into REM sleep dreaming, and both of them help generate and process emotions. Indeed, parts of these emotional brain regions are up to 30% more active when we are in REM sleep compared to when we're awake. But the brain scans then revealed another even more stunning surprise. Because there is one part of the brain during REM sleep dreaming that does exactly the opposite. Instead of ramping up its activity, it becomes utterly deactivated. And it's regions in the far left and the right side of your prefrontal cortex. Now, to find this area of your brain, you can just take your left and your right index fingers and place them above your eyes, and then move them about 2 inches further up your forehead. You should probably know, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast whilst you're driving and you're behind the wheel, skip this exercise. Don't do that exercise. But anyway, if your fingers are 2 inches up above your eyes, that's where your left and right prefrontal cortex regions are. As I bang the microphone, as I'm getting all sorts of animated here. It was these neural territories, the left and the right side, what we call the lateral prefrontal cortex, that were suppressed in their activity during the otherwise very highly active brain state of rapid eye movement sleep. Why is this important? Well, the prefrontal cortex you can think of almost like the CEO of your brain. It's very good at structuring rational thoughts and making logical, top-down decisions and controlled reactions, particularly controlling things such as your emotions. Yet this region is taken offline every single time you enter the dreaming state. So in other words, the dreaming brain is a neurological state that is characterized by strong activation in visual, motor, emotional, and autobiographical memory regions of the brain, yet a deactivation in regions that control rational thought. And this has allowed us to understand from a brain perspective exactly why it is that dreams are the way that they are, at least REM sleep dreams, why they are bizarre, because your prefrontal cortex has gone offline, why they're hallucinogenic, often visual, why they're movement active, why they are rich, filled with memories, and why they are linked to strong emotions. And you can well imagine, parenthetically, by the way, if you're experiencing all of those things, it's a really good job that we don't act out our dreams. And this was another discovery in neuroscience regarding REM sleep dreaming. Because mere seconds before you are launched into this state of dreaming, and for as long as that REM sleep period lasts, you are completely paralyzed. There is no tone in what we call the voluntary skeletal muscles of your body, none whatsoever. So if I were to quietly come into your room and gently lift you up, your body would be completely limp. It's almost like a rag doll. And that would be a very strange thing for me to do. But you get the point here. All of these muscles become flaccid. Now, rest assured, you don't have to worry that all of your involuntary muscles, those that control automatic operations such as breathing, etc., and your heart, of course, those all continue to operate and maintain life during this thing called REM sleep. But the other muscles, the voluntary muscles, they become lax, they are paralyzed, and it's what we call muscle atonia. And anything usually with the word A before it in medicine means an absence of that. So it is an absence of tone within the muscles. And so because of this muscular paralysis signal that is sent from the brain down your spinal cord, you will, in effect, become an embodied prisoner. You are incarcerated into this physical lockdown during REM sleep. And it's a striking dissociation. Your brain is incredibly active during dreaming, but your body is utterly immobilized. And there's a very simple, of course, evolutionary explanation. Imagine if you did act out some of your dreams and you weren't perceiving, of course, as we don't when we're dreaming, the outside world. It wouldn't take long before you were quickly popped out of the gene pool. And so instead, your brain paralyzes your body so the mind can dream safely. Absolute genius. And that, ladles and jelly spoons, boys and girls, is your brain on dreams. Now, very quickly after this new science of dreaming, we began to make some remarkable discoveries of not just how it is that your brain dreams, but what it is that your brain is going to be dreaming about. And even if brain scans can predict what people are dreaming, even if they don't know what they're dreaming themselves. And finally, can brain science give us an explanation of this very strange thing where we gain lucid control over our dreams, where we gain the ability to not just understand that we're dreaming, but to control what it is that we're dreaming. And that is lucid dreaming. It is these questions that we're going to be discussing in the next several episodes, all about dreaming. But for now, I will say my goodnights. I will wish you sound slumber, and I will see you in those next episodes. And apologies, my goodness, that this episode was a little longer than typical as I'm looking at it right now. I get a little bit carried away when it comes to some of these things after I hit the record button. I do apologize. Thanks so much again for listening, and bye for now.